From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 12th day of December, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the on-again, off-again WTO negotiations are off. The Energy Secretary designee is expected to push renewable fuels over fossil fuels. And the Bush administration is changing the visa programs that could make it easier for foreign workers to gain employment into the nation's agricultural endeavors. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll tell you why cloning animals might not work well enough to ever be adopted throughout the livestock production system. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of WILL. It is public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago. On a Friday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished 15.5 cents higher in the nearby contract December at 506 on the settlement price. Corn futures up 21 cents or 21.5 for the nearby December at 359.5. The March at 373.5 up 22, and the May at 384.75 up 22.25. July futures for the corn at 395.25 up 22.5, and December corn at 23.5 cents higher, settled at $4.20. Better go back and pick up that July 09 wheat at 538.75 in Chicago, up 5.25. December oats 2.5 cents higher to $1.99, and the beans finished the nearby January contract at 854. Down 2.5 cents on the afternoon. March futures at 856.25, 4.25 lower. May soybeans 865.75, down 4.25. And July 4.5 cents lower at 874.75. November soybeans $8.74, down 4.25. December bean meal at 258.50, down 2.30. The Jan at 257.70, up 140. December bean oil 31.10, down 36. The Jan down 80 at 30.92. Mercantile exchange livestock numbers. December live cattle 83.32.5, $1.15 lower for the day. January feeder cattle at 81.17.5, down 42.5. And December lean hog futures at $56.02, down 12.5 cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures at $47.15 a barrel, down 83 cents. February at $50 and a nickel, down 79 cents. January ethanol at $1.54.6, up 2.8. The Feb at $154.5, up 4 cents. Natural gas 8.3 lower at $5.51.5. And the RBOB gasoline at $107.8, just about unchanged on the day. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.49.6, just about unchanged for the afternoon. And the propane at $0.625. That is currently trading 3 cents higher. Gold futures at $8.18.90, down $6. And the Dow at $86.12 is up just about 48 points at this hour. U.S. dollar is currently trading at $83.61. That's down 0.06. And the CRB at $227.84 is down 2.99 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight should be partly to mostly cloudy on a Friday. Lows will range from 14 in northern Illinois to 28 in the far south. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and some sunshine, says Ed. Milder, highs will range from 35 in northeastern Indiana to 50 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. The extended warp forecast says windy, unseasonably mild weather is expected on Sunday, along with a few scattered rain showers. A cold front, though, will pass through on Sunday night, so temps will drop going into next week. Ed says a southwesterly flow aloft will set up next week, and that'll put Illinois and Indiana in line for frequent precip during the middle to latter part of the week. There is still much uncertainty about the exact storm systems and their tracks for next week, so stay with us for more agricultural and local weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. The numbers in Chicago finished the wheat bid about 15.5 cents higher in the nearby, but the March on out were up just about a nickel for the day. Corn futures were up 21 to 22 cents. The beans were off 2 to 4 in the nearby as the far divert up 3 cents. And the cattle futures ended about 40 cents. Lower hogs were down 10 to 12 cents for the afternoon. On the line with us from his Lafayette, Indiana office at Risk Management Commodities Incorporated this afternoon is Mike Zuzulo to take up those markets. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me what happened in Chicago.
Well, we had a nice trade today. I mean, we got a nice close in the weekly corn chart. The composite corn chart was able to take out its 200-week moving average on a closing basis, and it was really neat, not just all week, but especially today, we saw for the first time in many, many weeks, I would even say maybe a couple of months, the first time that the CME in the grains traded bullish supply data that was forward-looking in both corn and beans, corn and wheat, and that was the Informa 09 acreage estimates, Todd. And I think it really needs to be, a marker needs to be set down here because we've been trading poor demand, deflation, safe haven buying of assets of the dollar and the bonds, very negative fundamentals, and even with weather disrupting the production in South America for the bean crop and probably clipping some of the Argentine corn crop, the market has not, up until today, really looked at anything on the supply side, especially friendly supplies. And so we've got a change in the character here that we hope becomes a trend where the market looks more at both demand and supply and kind of brings equilibrium back. And we think if they do that, then they can continue to reflate some of these prices.
Informa, of course, releasing a set of numbers for the 09 corn acreage at 82.29 million acres. That compares with USDA's 2008 number, the number we just finished up with, at 85.89, so down, 3.5 million acres or something along those lines.
Yeah, and if you pencil those numbers through, you're talking about a little over 75 million harvested acres and using a 154 national yield. And yesterday's carryover number, which was increased, you're looking at about a 13 billion bushel total supply using a 12.2 total demand number. You're fighting at a 154 yield to get a billion bushel carryover. Comes in right around 1.06 billion. So that's that, along with the technicals in the no bean Dease corn chart, showing quite a bit of overbought conditions, and the fact the beans had hit about a 2.25. Ratio to the Dease corn kind of showed technically it was time to maybe reverse thrusters, but this was certainly good fundamental news for the corn, and the wheat market was taken down for winter wheat acres as well.
Well, tell me about what it all means across the board then for you. Does it give you fundamental reason to change the way you've been positioning yourself?
No, not really, because, you know, picking it up from the last few weeks and what we talked about last week at Commodity Week, if we could get the dollar to break and the bonds break with it, which that has happened to a degree this week, we felt like that maybe the crude oil and the Dow and the S&P could carve out lows here and build some gains. And it's really refreshing to see March corn up 64 cents on the week, beans up about 70.5 cents on the week, and wheat up a little under 40 cents on the week with the crude oil rally. It's going to probably shake out about up, you know, 550, 560 on the week. I think that says to the market that maybe, like I said earlier, we're going to return back to the supply side of the market and look at the fact that maybe demand is falling some, especially in corn, but by the same token, supply is falling as well because of how fast prices have corrected. So our mindset is still on track to try and reflate these prices, maybe get another 30 cents higher in the corn to pull our next trigger on a new sale of 09 and start getting some more 08 out the door. When March corn broke 350 yesterday, we did recommend going ahead and letting go of 10 to 15% of 08 and replacing immediately with 350, $4 March vertical calls. And with the as far as the beans go, We didn't get above 860 in Jan beans on the weekly close here today, but we made some good headway. We think maybe the weather in South America, if it stays dry, will take more of a foothold next week when we come back and maybe make some more gains in beans, maybe set us up for some more sales there as well. But we're looking at still trying to get about a 75 to 80 cent premium built back in the beans before we really get eager to sell much more.
Well, I've got two questions. Do the Informa numbers tell us the battle for acreage is back on, despite the fact that we really haven't had that at this point? And then the secondary question is, how do you know or judge when we've really put a low in place? What would give you confidence?
Well, the second question first, it goes back to the bonds. They are the safe haven investment, and if we could get the long bond after the Treasury breaks up on Tuesday, the Fed breaks up on Tuesday and decides what policy they're going to take as far as the market's thinking between 0.5% and 0.75% rate cut. Once we get that, if the bonds could break their trend line and say the March bond would close below 132, that would be a nice close below some key weekly lows, a trend line, and that would set us up for further correction and keep pressure on the dollar. So that, I think that would give you a good indicator that the outside market psychology is shifting, and maybe the big money, the trading money, will move out of the bonds and the dollar safe havens back into commodities and equities. As far as the first question, the Informa numbers, I think, are a little bit overdone at this point. We certainly don't disagree with their wheat number, but we think their corn number is just a little bit too high, their bean number a little bit too low, and their bean number a little bit too high. But like I said, this is the first time in many, many weeks that we've been able to trade forward-looking supply data in the actual trade. So, yes, maybe the acreage battle is on again in 09. I put out to clients, and we've talked to clients this week about the beans still have the best fundamental look to them, both in terms of U.S. carryover and South American production, and the losses there could be pretty dramatic if we don't turn the weather around in 30 days. So I think maybe in the longer term, the beans are still the way that we get the acreage battle started, that if the corn needs to buy acres, it's going to be because the beans keep their premium, and maybe some of that starts to translate in the next few weeks. But what we're dealing with today and what we saw today, much, much more shorter term.
Anything else to add for
the day? Well, the only thing I would say is we welcome our new partner, our new branch, Merrill Crowley, up in Crescent City. We're very excited to have him on and start the new year right up there in that area of Illinois.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzlow. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report, and that happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
I'm sure you already know you can always visit our website to hear what Mike had to say again at willag.org, but maybe you have not tried our telephone system. If you can't get to the web and you'd want to hear it quicker, it's at 217-333-3434. Next week, I'll be on the road with the Farm Doc team, that's the Ag Economist here, out at the Illinois Ag Econ Summits. We kick off in Mount Vernon. These are day-long events, and you can still walk in if you'd like at one of them. For $65, Daryl Good and Gary Schnitke, along with Scott Irwin and a whole slew of other folks, will be out there. If you get the opportunity, visit the Farm Doc website and check out that information. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, World Trade Organization Director General Pascal Lamy has decided against calling ministers to Geneva to seek a breakthrough in the WTO's seven-year-old Doha round. The decision means ministers were unable to meet a call by leaders of the G20 rich and emerging nations last month to reach an outline Doha deal by the end of this year. Experts at a U.S. energy think tank say that President-elect Barack Obama's new energy secretary, Stephen Chu, is likely to push renewable fuels and move away from traditional fossil fuels. Chu will have to work closely with a new White House counsel that will coordinate energy, climate, and environmental policies among the various federal agencies. Other challenges facing Chu will be modernizing the U.S. energy grid, whether to boost the size of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and if the emergency stockpile should be used to lower fuel prices, and how to store radioactive waste now at nuclear power plants and government weapons sites. The Bush administration is moving to make it easier for U.S. farming companies to hire foreign field workers, which farm groups say will worsen wages and working conditions. Farm groups said that changes to the H-2A visa program used by the agriculture industry to hire temporary farm workers were posted on the Labor Department's website at midnight Tuesday, but have since been taken down. Farm worker advocates and the United Farm Workers Union said the version that appeared on the website would lead to a flood of cheaper workers. Bayer Crop Science announced yesterday that more than 85 companies will be selling Liberty Link soybean varieties for the 2009 season. The announcement comes after a hiatus of more than a decade for Liberty Link beans, which originally were set to come to market soon after Roundup Ready seeds were launched in the late 1990s. In general, the company will focus on soybean sales in areas where weed resistance to Roundup and other glyphosate herbicides has become an issue. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the farming world. Two notes. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. You can find most of our daily agricultural programming there. You can listen to it anytime you'd like. And you can even sign up to have it downloaded as a podcast to your computer automatically. Don't forget, while you're there at willag.org, just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page and subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That's free. If you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe. We'll take you off just as quickly as you got onto that list. And finally, if you can't get to the web and you didn't happen to hear this program on the radio, you can come back and get it on your telephone. The number is 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. It's our mobile analyst portal. It's just a telephone line updated at 10:30 and 3:15 on weekdays. Now up next, you know earlier this year, U.S. FDA approved cloned animals for use in the food system. But as you'll hear, the efficacy of making clones is not and probably won't ever be good enough for it to be adopted throughout the livestock production system. In its January release, U.S. FDA states because clones would be used for breeding stock, they would not be expected to enter the food supply in any significant number. Instead, the agency concludes their sexually reproduced offspring would be used for producing meat and milk for the marketplace. There's a good reason behind FDA's conclusion, says University of Illinois animal scientist Matt Wheeler. He's been working with cloned animals and simply says the success rate is not high enough for clones to be used for anything other than duplicating breeding animals.
So you start with 100 cloned embryos and you might get one to five calves born and survive to to adulthood. Mm-hmm. So it's not very efficient. When you look at other reproductive strategies like embryo transfer, I was just talking about, it's about 60%. Even conventional breeding, if you have a 100 animals, and you run a bull with them, you're probably talking in the neighborhood of, high 60s to low 80% conception rates.
Well, this very low success rate is certainly a limiting factor, and so is cost. Yet, it hasn't hampered the real value of creating an exact clone of an animal, says Matt Wheeler.
Depending on the individual that you start with, if you have a cow that is significantly higher milk production than the average. Your average producer is probably not going to do this. This is technology now for the elite producers. So folks that actually produce cows and bulls that produce the animals that are the foundation for the next generation.
Well, the man on the street example Wheeler uses is Secretariat. If cells had been kept from Secretariat, would there be a value today in cloning that horse? You could get an animal like that back, or in a different instance, it would be possible to collect cells from an endangered species and regenerate an entire population.
So there's a rescue opportunity, not only for livestock, but for, you know, for endangered species as well. So it's two things, elite breeding animals and preservation.
An animal clone is a genetic copy of a donor animal, similar to an identical twin, but born at a different time. Cloning is not the same as genetic engineering, which involves altering, adding, or deleting DNA. Cloning does not change the gene sequence. Due to their cost and rarity, clones are intended to be used as elite breeding animals to introduce desirable traits into herds more rapidly than would be possible using conventional breeding. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Normally, we talk to Bruce Boster. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, right here in the east central part of Illinois. And they cover a good portion of the great state of Illinois, at least the Midwest, or a great state of Illinois, with about 10 elevators. But he's in Chicago this afternoon, and I forgot completely about that, so not available today to talk to us about the cash grain market. So let's recap what happened in Chicago, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about what I've got going on next week. Here are the way the numbers finished in Chicago. If you didn't catch them the first time around, corn futures were up 21.5 cents today at 359.5. Much of that predicated on a much lower acreage figure that Informa released this afternoon, down something about 3.5 million compared to this current year, the 2008 year. Informa saying that the number of planted acres should be about 3.5 million lower, at least at this time, for the 09 crop year. And that pushed corn futures sharply higher, up 22 cents in the March and the May at 384 and three quarters, up 22 and a quarter. And next year's December corn futures finished the day like this at 420, up 23.5. Oat futures were up 2.5 cents. The soy complex down 2.5 cents. Nearby at 854. March at 856 and a quarter, 4.25 lower. And the November beans at 874 were down 4.25. And the wheat futures finished the nearby contract 15.5 cents higher in Chicago at 506 and three quarters. The July at 538 and three quarters, up 5.25. Kansas City wheat was 8.75 higher at 530 and a quarter. We didn't give that one earlier, so there's a new one for you. Hard red winter wheat. Spring wheat at 604, down 20.5 cents. And over on the livestock side from the CME group today, live cattle futures were $1.15 lower in the nearby. The feeders at 87.17.5 were down 42.5 cents. And December lean hogs settled at $56.02. They were 12.5 cents lower on the afternoon. Next week, I will be on the road on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, out with the Ag Economist right here from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, our regular annual road show. It's the 2008 version of the Illinois Ag Econ Summits. We'll start in Mount Vernon on Tuesday of next week, and we'll be in Bloomington Wednesday, I believe Springfield on Thursday, and we'll finish up in Sycamore on Friday. If you don't know much about that, visit the Farm Doc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. That's farmdoc.uiuc.edu. We have, I think, at this point, 270, this is the only place I know, in Bloomington, pre-registered. Walk-ins are welcome, $65 at the door, the Ag Econ Summits, great programs. I hope to see you there.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' Attorney General says it's an extraordinary request, but these are extraordinary circumstances. She's asking the state Supreme Court to strip Governor Rob Blagojevich of his powers. As the pressure on Blagojevich to resign intensifies, his chief of staff has quit. A Blagojevich spokesman said John Harris had resigned, providing no other details. Harris's attorney, Jim Soto, said his client resigned because it was the right thing to do. Blagojevich and Harris were arrested Tuesday morning at their homes. Federal authorities accused them of scheming so Blagojevich could enrich himself through his power to appoint President-elect Barack Obama's replacement in the U.S. Senate. A retired administrator from the Urbana School District will pay a $2,000 fine and perform 100 hours of community service. Carmelita Thomas was charged with failing to report a complaint of child abuse. She was charged along with Superintendent Jean Amberg and former grade school principal Janice Bradley, who are also charged in the case. The teacher in the complaints, John White, is serving a 60-year prison sentence for sexually abusing children in his classroom. A former University of Illinois gymnastics coach has pleaded not guilty in Champaign County Court to a charge that he videotaped a member of the men's gymnastics team without permission in a locker room. John Valdez is accused of placing a video camera in a locker last September with the intent of taping a team member. He resigned from the coaching staff 2 months ago. At the hearing today, Judge Richard Klaus released Valdez on his own recognizance and set a February 10th pretrial date. A lead researcher says new geological data coming from the proposed site of the coal-fired Future Gen power plant in Mattoon proves the process of coal gasification can be a success there. Robert Finley of the State Geological Survey says the key to the test data was ensuring carbon dioxide emissions will remain safely beneath the Earth's surface, injected more than 7,000 feet below the plant site. The Future Gen Alliance has also announced that it's closed on the purchase of more than 400 acres for the plant. The companies are hoping the Obama administration revives the project. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And as he always does, Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I'd like to know if we're going to have warm weather over the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be warmer, but it's not going to be the best warmer weather. We're not going to be outside growing steaks or anything or playing softball, but we're going to see some warmth, and we have been very cold so far this December. The first 12 days here, we're running about 5 to 6 degrees below normal in central and southern Illinois, and a couple of degrees cooler than that up in northern Illinois because they've had some snow cover, so it stays colder there. But we'll see some warmer weather this weekend, but only because there's another big storm system gathering strength. It's currently headed toward the northern Rockies right now. It's going to bring blizzard conditions and then bitterly cold weather to the northern Rockies as it heads southeastward. And then the cold front itself will start moving through here late in the weekend. But ahead of it, we'll have pretty strong and stiff southerly winds, and that should bring temperatures well up into the 40s, maybe into the 50s before things get cut off on Sunday night as the front comes through. So we do have some mild weather coming, and at least tomorrow doesn't look like there'll be much rain. So if you got something you want to do outside, like last minute hang up those Christmas lights, that probably be the best day to do it.
Ooh, it'd be a good time to do it too, probably. And as I looked at the weather forecast from our own Closing Market Report chief meteorologist Ed Kieser, he's a little uncertain, and apparently so are the models about exactly how storms might track through next week. But there could be quite a bit of precip, I suppose.
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know if that's the doubt is that there's going to be any precip. I think that's going to be pretty widespread. What kind is probably going to be the bigger question,
meant.
And where. And Ed's perfectly right. The way the pattern's set up right now, central Illinois, well, basically the whole state of Illinois, is sort of on the edge of the northern cold air and the southern jet stream, and we have a pretty intense pattern aloft. And so, you know, a matter of 100 miles or so can make all the difference in the world as to who gets what. But it is something that's going to bear watching, and because it is a pretty close call for especially central Illinois as to what kind of precip we're going to get, it's certainly going to bear watching come Monday morning and late Sunday night as this front comes through. But that will end the warm weather for a while, and we'll have a couple of cold days next week, maybe even some a little more light snow in the middle of the week as another little system comes through. But I wouldn't say that we're going to see much warm. You know, temperatures are going to probably stay at or below normal once that front comes through.
Of course, I'll be on the road next week across the state. Am I likely to run into rough sledding anyway?
Well, if you like to sled, you'll probably be in good shape. it looks like that perhaps on Thursday could be the problem day as another system comes out of the southern plains. The northwestern half of the state could see some snow, while in the south, central could be a mix, and south could see some rain. So I'd say Wednesday night, Thursday is the time to watch out for.
All right. Thanks much.
All right. Take care, Todd.
You too. That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, and that is this Friday edition of the Closing Mark Report. Visit our website. We'll post our weekend program. It's called Commodity Week there by about 6 o'clock this evening at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great weekend.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.